to the book of Proverbs, almost in the middle, a little bit to the right, to the book of Proverbs in chapter 1. As you're turning there, I wonder if you've ever heard anybody say, especially maybe when you were a younger man, son, some women will get you into a world of trouble. Especially those who are too forward with their offers, or who offer you nothing but things for you with absolutely no cost. Some of our grandparents might have told us that. Some of our mothers or fathers might have given us that kind of advice. There are some kinds of women who will get you into all kinds of trouble. We see that later in Proverbs 5 and 7. We see those that are promiscuous. We see the adulteress and the effect that those things have on the souls of the naive. But there is one woman you need to heed. There's one woman, and she's not just a woman. She truly is a lady who offers you something that you need to receive. She makes an offer, and you need to listen. And her name is Lady Wisdom. We see wisdom personified in Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 20. We're going to read in a moment, but in future weeks, we're going to begin to get into specific topics in the book of Proverbs. And those might be parenting, those might be morality, those might be diligence. There are a number of different things that we'll see throughout the book of Proverbs, just a number of different topics. And Proverbs as a book lends itself wonderfully to dealing with any number of different topics. But what we see this evening is the broader cry again to listen to the offer of wisdom, to receive what wisdom offers. We read in Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof, so they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do praise you again for wisdom. We praise you, Father, that you have given us books like this one. Not just the wonderful truth that we've seen this morning in the epistles of the New Testament, not just doctrinal truths and great principles, Lord, of how we have been declared righteous in Christ, how we are being conformed to His image continually in this life. Lord, we praise you that there is now for us in Christ no condemnation. And yet we praise you, Father, that you are a God of the details right now as well. A God who knows our paths. A God who would direct us in the way. A God who teaches us wisdom. And so now, Father, teach us wisdom, how we might walk faithfully, how we might walk successfully as you define success before you. How we might know blessing, Lord, in knowing and walking in your ways. Teach us now, Lord, through Christ we pray. Amen. Sometimes a big percentage of the instruction that we get is negative. Little children have to be told no a lot because they reach out for things they shouldn't touch. They try to go places that wouldn't be safe. Sometimes when people get older, they get a lot of negative instruction. That's not a bad thing. I watched a documentary years ago. It was on a special forces team or a SWAT team, and they were going through these mock houses, and they were learning how to enter a room and how to identify threats and how to deal with them effectively. And as they would go do this, then at the end of each exercise, some old seasoned veteran would come in and start telling them everything that they did wrong. You pointed that gun at the head of your partner. Did you realize that you did that? And the fellow would say, no, I didn't even know that I did it. And so they would be shown things that they had done wrong so that they might then be shown how to do them right. If you think about trauma teams that work on people that come in with devastating injuries, my guess is that there are a lot of statements that go something like this. Now, be careful not to make sure that you first do this before you simply dive in and do that. Well, the point is that Proverbs reminds us very often that we live in a battlefield or a minefield where there are a lot of pitfalls, and we need to receive the wisdom that God offers. We need to receive the instruction that wisdom offers. And so again, before we get into all of the details about parenting and about morality and about work ethic and about discipline and we'll deal with all kinds of things, you know, drunkenness, gluttony, sloth, marriage, family, work, all those things, money, all those things come up in the Proverbs. But again, we need to be reminded that there is this need to receive what wisdom offers. Do you believe that you need what wisdom offers? Do you believe that you need to receive the instruction that wisdom offers? And notice first in verses 20 and 21, the open offer of wisdom. Wisdom is personified again as a lady. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. And so wisdom is in the places where everybody's coming and going. She's out in the midst of the crowds, and she's crying out to the crowds to listen, to hear, to receive what it is that she offers. She lifts her voice. She shouts in the street, lifts her voice in the square, at the entrance to the gates of the city. And again, in the ancient world, remember that the gates of the city is where everybody was coming and going. If you wanted everybody to see or hear what it was that you were offering, you would stand at the gates of the city. When I was at Clemson, the largest dining hall on campus had an area in front of it that was called the Student Union, and it was sort of this large courtyard, and there was a group in Clemson, an evangelical Christian group, that would regularly, I think a day or two a week, they would have people standing in this courtyard, basically what we might call street preaching. There would be someone reading the Bible, and then he would be explaining the Bible and applying the Bible and calling people to repent of sin and turn to Christ. And I can remember, I was a Christian by that time, but I would still find it fascinating. I would stop and I would listen because I just like to hear people read the Bible and explain the Bible. And sometimes I thought that what he said made really good sense. Sometimes I thought, I don't know that I'd say it exactly that way, or I don't know that I would confront people that I don't know in exactly that way. But if you were going to walk into that dining hall, you were going to hear this person. If you were inclined to listen, they were right there so that all you had to do was stop and stand still and listen to what was said. Now, you could walk by and ignore it. You could keep talking to your friend and pay no attention to the noise of the preacher that was in the background, and yet it was there for everybody on campus almost. I mean, it was probably the place that through which more people passed every day than any other point on campus, except maybe in front of the library. It was there for people to hear if they wanted to hear it. Well, the offer of Lady Wisdom here is an offer that's made for all who will listen. Now, we saw this last week. It's not an offer for those at the end of a pilgrimage on the top of a mountain. It's not for some elite clique. It's not for people with special abilities or opportunities. It is for all God's people. There is this open offer of wisdom, and you need to receive what wisdom offers. Are you mindful that God is offering you wisdom? And God is offering you wisdom mainly in two places. He is offering you wisdom from His Word and among His people. God is offering you wisdom from His Word and among His people. Are you seeking that wisdom? Or are you seeking something else? You know, people seek all kinds of things. Sometimes it's pleasure. Sometimes it's happiness. Sometimes it's excitement. Sometimes it's success. Sometimes it's status. Sometimes we're just, I think in our Sunday school class, one of them that Tim Taylor's teaching right now, I think one of the things we kind of touched on is that sometimes people are just seeking a feeling. Sometimes people think that wisdom is about being profound. But don't confuse profound with wise. Sometimes wisdom in the Proverbs is pretty earthy. It's not real profound. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a woman, a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Well, that doesn't sound really eloquent. It's kind of a gripping image. And yet that's the way that wisdom is offered to us. And it's offered freely to all of those who will hear God's Word, or who will receive wisdom as it's pressed upon them through God's people. You know, really, you can't think about the free offer of wisdom without thinking about the free offer of the gospel. You know, it's not just that there is this offer of wisdom, but the Scriptures throughout show us that there is the offer of redemption and forgiveness of sin for those who will turn from their sin to trust in the Lord. Again, we see it back in verse 7 last week. We saw the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We've even seen later here in the second half of Proverbs 1 this idea again of the fear of the Lord. And so there's a reminder here that the offer of the gospel is free. And so we ought to offer the gospel freely and openly to everyone. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit has to make people alive or they won't respond. But our place is to offer the gospel freely to all. That's because God calls all people to repentance. But again, here in Proverbs 1, what we see is again, this call of wisdom. This call of wisdom to turn to the Lord, not just for salvation, but for instruction in the way that we should go. Last thing to say before we go on to the largest portion of the passage is true wisdom is really only available to Christians. Godly wisdom is only available to Christians. Now, we might know non-Christians that demonstrate a great degree of what we would call common grace or even wisdom that would be in line with the Scriptures. And yet, to be ultimately wise, to be truly wise, that is found only in the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, of course, is to fear the Lord as He's come for our salvation in the person and work of Christ. But there is this open offer of wisdom. But then the bulk of the passage that we read is a warning for those who simply won't have it. Look again, beginning in verse 22. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Remember, we touched on it last week, but there are three kinds of fool here. There is, and I'm going to go from least bad to most bad. There's the naive, and the fool, and the scoffer. The naive, or the simple, we might call him the clueless. He just doesn't get it. He hasn't thought about it. He ought to know better, but he's just not thinking about it. He's just thinking about him, or not thinking clearly or well at all. And then there's the fool who knows he's wrong, but he wants to be wrong. And then there's the scoffer who's not only wrong, but he argues how he's not the one who's wrong, you're the one who's wrong. And so to say it another way, the simple hasn't thought about it. The fool's thought about it, but he wants to do what he wants to do. The scoffer's thought about it and come up with a reason to turn it around on you and say he's not the one with the problem, you're the one with the problem. But then notice in verse 23, what does wisdom say? Turn to my reproof. Come to my reproof. Now think, so back up and think about it this way. Wisdom saying, come and receive my reproof. Well, what's reproof? Well, this is the definition of reproof. Reproof is blame, criticism, chastening. Reproof is being told what's wrong with you, confronted with what's wrong with you. Now, of course, our natural tendency is to do what? When we're reproved, we want to turn away from it, we want to get away from it, we want to pull back from it. Wisdom says, turn to my reproof. Come to my reproof. Receive my reproof. But if you don't, and then wisdom begins to explain what are the consequences for ignoring it. Because I called and you refused in verse 24, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, if you don't listen, then you will know calamity, ruin, destruction. You will know dread. You will know terror. And I'm telling you so you don't go there, is what wisdom's implicitly saying. We've probably all known it, that feeling of terror when we realize we are about to suffer the consequences for what we knew not to do. Some of you have heard me tell when I was 5 years old, my father looked across the room and he asked me a question. And I don't know where I'd heard this response, but I looked back across the room at him and I said, "None of your business." And my father's eyes flew open big. And he put the paper down on the couch and he stood up and his steps thundered like the footfalls of Zeus as he came across the den. And as he was coming, I said as many times as I could before he got there, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." I was very sorry. In fact, I became more sorry before the whole affair was over. It was terrifying. Man, my father was not abusive. He loved me and took good care of me, but he made an impression that day. Now imagine the terror of King David when he gets word from Bathsheba through a messenger, "I'm pregnant." Imagine the terror, maybe greater terror, when Nathan looks at him and says, "You're the man." The terror of realizing what I've done is now having consequences. In fact, it's been seen by God. That's the idea of terror. That's the idea of dread here that Lady Wisdom says is coming. And then in verses 28 and following, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. So they will eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them. And the complacency of fools will destroy them." what's the point there? We can look at that and say, wasn't that harsh of Lady Wisdom that when someone seeks her, then she would say, too late, not to be found? Well, here's the reason, is because these are people that are not really repentant. I mean, when my father was coming across the room, I wasn't really repentant. I was sorry I was about to face some consequences. There was no real remorse over sin. There was no real repentance. You know, people very often will say, even Pharaoh would say to Moses on numerous occasions, right? Didn't Pharaoh say, yeah, you're right, I was wrong. Now I'll let the people go. And then God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that is to say, Pharaoh, you're going to be honest about where your heart really is. Your heart's not to let my people go, so you're not going to let my people go. I'm going to make you act openly according to the way your heart is in secret. You are still at enmity with me, and so you're going to live that openly. That's going to be right out on the table. And so here, wisdom won't be manipulated that way. Lady Wisdom's not going to be manipulated. She says, you hated knowledge. You didn't choose the fear of the Lord. You spurned my reproof. So you're going to eat the fruit of your own way. In fact, you're going to be satiated with it. That is the warning that wisdom gives. And so when we look at the latter third of Proverbs 1, you know, there ought to be a healthy fear of folly. Do you have a healthy fear of folly? Because you know, and it's a healthy fear of folly, not because God is harsh, but because sin is stupid. And when you go the way of foolishness or sin, you will make an absolute train wreck of your life and even of the lives of those around you. You know, C.S. Lewis, remember, he used that analogy of a convoy of ships crossing the Atlantic in World War II, and he said, if one of those ships has a malfunction and the steering linkage goes out and it begins to veer off course, it slams into other ships. Now, those other ships didn't have a problem. Their steering linkages were working just fine, and yet this other ship slammed into their side. Sin makes us stupid and has horrible consequences, and so we ought to have a healthy fear of folly. And we ought to always be reminded, as we saw a couple of months ago or a few months ago in Romans 1, the worst thing in the world is to be given over to exactly what we want. That is the worst thing that can happen in this life. You know, sometimes people say, what's the worst thing that can happen to somebody in this life? People say, well, horrible disease or, you know, loss of family, or people name sort of these unpleasant things. That's not what Romans 1 says is the worst thing that can happen to somebody in this life. The worst thing that can happen to somebody in this life is to be given exactly what they want, is to simply be left to pursue their folly. And so praise God when He disciplines you. Praise God when He convicts you and makes you feel miserable, and even when He exposes your sin, and there are a measure of consequences. That's a gift of God. Now, very often that's God not giving us over, but visiting upon us the consequences of our sin, that we might face squarely our sin and then might turn from it back to Him. The question for you maybe is, maybe a way to think about it for us this evening is, where are you receiving reproof? Where are you receiving reproof? Either from God's Word or from His people, but where are you receiving reproof? Now again, remember the definition. Reproof is blame, criticism, chastening. In what ways are you receiving that? Is there anyone who's allowed to give you that in your life? And if you're not receiving any reproof from God's Word or through God's people speaking to you God's Word, then you're walking in the way of the fool. You're walking at best in the way of the naive or the simple or the clueless, the one who is endangering himself when he ought to know better. Now, there's a warning for those who won't hear. There's this open offer of wisdom, a warning for those who won't hear, but then a blessing for those who will. It's a pretty brief amount of blessing. Look at verse 30, or brief description in verse 33. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. If you will listen, Lady Wisdom says, you will live securely and you will be at ease from the dread of evil. In one of our recent men's studies in the last year or two, we were reading a book and the author made a statement in one of his first chapters. We talked about this in our men's study. The author of this book said, we need to not serve God out of selfish motives. We need to serve God because we want God to be glorified. And if we're doing it because it's good for us, then that's not really the best motive. One of the things that I thought as I read that, is it true that our ultimate motive ought to be out of love for God to see Him glorified? Of course. But is it true that that selfish motivations are always an ungodly thing? Well, no, in the sense that God here says, here are benefits and blessings when you listen to me. There are benefits and blessings to wisdom. In other words, a father, a mother, seeks to motivate children by showing them that there are good things that come out of walking in the way of wisdom. Certainly our earliest kids, but probably all of them, probably around the age of 10, we started to encourage them to work. And I don't mean sweatshops and things like that, but I mean to be workers, to go out in the neighborhood and get a job cutting a yard, or to help a neighbor do this, that, or the other. One of them came to us one time and said, can we just get a job from you? And Sony and I said, no, that's redistribution of wealth within the Martin household. We're not doing that. You need to go outside and, you need to go next door or down the street, and you need to find a job that somebody needs to have done, whether it's dog sitting or cutting a yard or whatever it is. We wanted them to learn work ethic. And then through school, we would always say to them, you need to keep your grades up. Well, why? Well, because if your grades are not good now, then you may not have certain opportunities that you want later. Well, why does that matter? Well, because you might want to go do something. You might decide when you're 18 that you want to do something you're not thinking you want to do when you're 14. And then the decisions that you make about whether you do this, this, or this, then those have ramifications with regard to what your life looks like. Well, what was the point of that? What we were trying to say to them was, there are benefits to doing certain things that you ought to do. If you work hard, you learn to work hard. If you study well, you learn to study well. It opens doors for you. You might not go through all those doors. You might not care to go through all those doors. And yet it is foolishness to live your life right now in such a way that you will have no ability to do anything other than continue to live your life in this way 10 or 20 or 30 years from now. And so there are benefits to wisdom. And what are the benefits here? Well, wisdom says you will live securely and be free from the fear or the dread or the terror of evil. Really? If we do everything we're supposed to do, we'll always be secure and free from the dread of evil. Well, again, remember, Proverbs is making general statements and using generalizations. But basically, the generalization here is, if you receive what wisdom offers, life will go better. If you receive what wisdom offers, life will often go well. If you receive what wisdom offers, even when there are hard things, it will ultimately be all right. There might be things that will be hard, but it will be okay, or it will certainly be better than what it would have been if you had walked in the way of folly. There is a blessing for those who will receive what wisdom offers. Again, wisdom will steer you around and away from some very unpleasant things. Now, we live in a fallen world. As Ecclesiastes, another book about wisdom, says, man's days are few and full of trouble. And so there will be hard things in this world. But harder if we walk in the way of the fool. And wisdom is a blessing for those who will listen. And wisdom steers us away from the things that ultimately will destroy us. It could be sensuality. And sensuality has all kinds of faces. We'll see in the Proverbs, sensuality could be immorality, could be drunkenness, could be gluttony, could be anger, could be sloth or laziness. Wisdom steers us away from the self-destruction of sensuality. Wisdom steers us away from the vanity of materialism or the stupidity of pride. You need to receive what wisdom offers. And even the hard things, when God leads us through hard things, we will see them from God's perspective in a way that we might even grow in His grace and be encouraged. So we need to receive what wisdom offers. To be truly successful and prosperous and fruitful in the way that God defines those things, which is producing that for which He designed us, to give Him glory and to live fruitfully before Him, wisdom will always lead us in that path. Wisdom will always lead us in the way of life and joy and peace. Not ease, not comfort, not always pleasure, but life and joy and peace. You need to receive what wisdom offers, and it will be for your good. And Lady Wisdom offers it to everybody. You know, I've said before that every other religion is about what you do to work your way up to God. Only Christianity is about what God did coming into our midst to save us. And this would not be quite as generally true. It would not be as thoroughly true, always true, but there is a generality to this, that many religions and philosophies and systems really become sort of elitist. They're elitist in the sense that the person who has mastered the terminology of the philosophy or is working the system or has attained some position of status, that's the person who's really recognized. But wisdom is for all of God's people. Lady Wisdom is a lady who makes an offer that'll never get you in trouble. In fact, it'll steer you in the opposite direction. There is this open offer of wisdom. There is a warning for those who won't hear it, but there is blessing for those who will. You need to receive what wisdom offers. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we do come before You acknowledging that we don't fear folly enough. Lord, we can be careless in the way that we live, and so we walk in the way of the simple or the naive. And Lord, we know that all of us, at least at points in our lives, have been the outright fool who we've just wanted to do what we've wanted to do, and we've not wanted anybody to show us why it might not be the right path. Lord, we pray that You would continue to teach us wisdom. We thank You, Father, for the life that You've produced in Your people by the power of Your Spirit. We praise You, Lord, that by the power of that same Spirit, You open our eyes to behold wonderful things in Your Word. Lord, You enable us to grasp and to walk in wisdom. And so, Lord, continue to teach us and show us the wisdom that You offer in Your Word, even that we might apply it in every part of our lives. Lord, for Your glory and our good, we praise You, Lord, that it is for both those things. And so we ask these things through Christ our Savior. Amen. Let's take our hymn.